you made it through Thanksgiving and all the sicknesses going around. We've come together this morning to celebrate the last Sunday in Pentecost, Christ the King Sunday. And we're going to do it a little bit different. Elijah and Chris and Tom have preached on the icons of the season of the church. And Elijah was gracious enough to me to give me all three of these at the back. One subject, three icons. We shall see where this goes. The sermon title, Water, Wine, and Bread, came to me as I was looking at communion and baptism. Very common things. Water, wine, and bread. Everyday life-giving substances. Nothing special. It's not like a diamond or a ruby or anything. It's just something we consume daily. Something that God made sacred to us. He set it apart. Just like he set his son apart. I mean, if you look at Christ the King and Jesus, what kind of royal lineage did he have? If you look in the genealogies of Matthew and Luke, unless you're a real good Bible student, three-quarters of those names, you have no idea who they are. Even his birth was questioned. The son of Joseph, maybe. Isn't that what the scripture says? That's what they thought, the son of Joseph. Did he live like a king? Homeless, poor, traveling from place to place. Loved and despised. What about the people he gathered around him? Were they great people? No, they were just people like you and I. Ordinary people doing everyday things that God used to change the world. This last Sunday of Pentecost, my first question to you, is Christ really your king? Is Christ really your king? Do you even have an idea how to serve or worship a king? I say we don't. We're Americans. What do we know about how to serve and be around royalty? We need some good English people here. Where are my English people? To teach us how to be subjects, how to be servants. We have no idea. Do you look at everything that you say and do as being pleasing to the King? You look at yourself and say, or am I pleasing? Can people see that I have a king and who that king is? They can see that you have a king and they can see who that king is. It may not be Christ. And Christ gave us two sacraments. Nick and I were talking this week. And I said, I'm going to ask a question. Somebody tell me what the definition of a sacrament is. He said, but I won't be there. So, what is a sacrament?
An outward sign of
spiritual works. And he gave us baptism and Holy Communion. Let's talk about baptism to start with. And both of these sacraments are contentious. We have great discussions on them. How much water should we use? How little water should we use? Should it be flowing water, living water? When should a person be baptized? At what age? Years ago, I was outside the first building that we rented right next to Oakley Hills Recreation Center, and a lady pulled up with her son. Now, her son was grown. And she pulled up, Becky and I were there doing something. Not quite, don't remember what, but she said, I'd like for my son to be baptized. And I said, well, that's good. We'd like for him to be baptized too. And she said, I have a question for you. I said, well, good, because I have several questions for you. She said, in whose name do you baptize? I said, well, we baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. She said, we're through talking. I want him baptized in the name of Jesus. I said, okay, I'll see you later. You see, our thoughts about baptism are created a lot by the culture and very little by the scripture. Christ commanded us in Matthew 28, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And that's what we do. And baptism has gotten a bad rap. A lot of people think that once you're baptized, as they say, it's one and done. They see it as an act, a finality. If I've been baptized, I know I'm going to heaven, I'm finished. I'll see you when it's convenient, and maybe on Christmas and Easter. You're laughing because you know it's true. But I submit to you that baptism is much more than that. Baptism is the beginning. It's an anointing. It's the start. Our first reading today from Joshua, as the Israelites cross the river Jordan and God makes the water stand up on each side and they walk across on dry land. That's a baptism, but nobody got wet. But it anointed them for the journey they were getting ready to take up. They were going into the Holy Land. As they crossed, they put up some stones, an Ebenezer, in case you wondered what we were singing about. What is an Ebenezer? A memorial to what had happened. They wanted generations to remember that God stopped the River Jordan in the springtime when it's flooding for them to cross across the dry land. So it is with our baptism. We're not one and done. It's a beginning. It's an anointing. It's a beginning of Christian ministry. Well, preacher, how do you get that out of Scripture? Very simple. Christ's baptism. He had no need of being baptized. He had no sin. But what was that? That was an anointing for him to begin his ministry. And it's so it is for us. And our question is to ourselves, is how is our anointing going? How is our ministry going? Have you even thought about what your ministry is? What is your ministry? We all have the same ministry to a point. It's to share the gospel. Community groups have went through 8 weeks of learning how to share their testimony in different situations. That is continuing on with your anointing. If you're not able to share your testimony, what God has done in your life to someone else, then you're one and done. You see, God does extraordinary things through ordinary people doing everyday things. We're sitting at a table, drinking coffee with someone, and they ask a question. Why are you so peaceful? Why are you so happy? What do you have that I don't have? What has made such a difference in your life? We argue about baptism and how much water, what time of life, but we really forget the essentials of it. We get so wrapped up in the minute details, we forget the purpose. There's a reason we do baptism in community, that we all stand up together as someone's being baptized, and we affirm what they're doing. It is to remind us of what we went through ourselves. This coming Easter Sunday, I will have been baptized 61 years ago. Absolutely remember nothing about it. I was exactly through myself. Recently adopted. I have no idea what was said, who said what, who was there. Didn't matter. Does it really matter? But yet I think I remember my Lord. I remember what happened at 3 months. What a wonderful thing to be baptized. What a wonderful thing to know that you're going to live forever with Christ the King. What a tremendous responsibility to live out the anointing. What a tremendous joy to share the anointing. Our next sacrament, Holy Communion, is probably even more contentious than baptism. We love to talk it to death, don't we? If you don't believe me, go back 500 years ago and look at some of the reformers' debates over communion. From Zwingli over here to Martin Luther over here, and everything in between. Holy Communion. Time that the bread and the wine feed our souls, nourish our spirit, enable us to live out the anointing. But we're so mixed up about it, aren't we? How often should we have it? Weekly, monthly, quarterly, whenever the Spirit moves us. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Christ says, do this in remembrance of me. And my question to people when we're talking about it is, how often do you want to remember Christ? How often do you want to feed on his body and blood? That's the question for you. And yes, I know we're not worthy. The reason we say that prayer of humble access every Sunday is to remind ourselves we are not worthy to come to that table. We're not worthy to pick up the crumbs. We're worse than the dogs. But yet, we come. And I hope you come with joy, with expectation. I hope you're as excited as Elijah's little boy was about the slingshot. I hope you just, it's all you can do to keep just from running up here to be fed. To feel the presence, to feel the community. And I hope that you want to share that joy and love and peace that you feel. Because it goes hand in hand with baptism. It's a spiritual thing that happens within us, but we want to show it to the world. An outward sign of an inward plan. And how can we show them by walking around with it like this? Or do we show it with a smile on our face? No matter how bad things are, how inconvenient life has become, we know there's something greater. We know there's a King who sits in the throne in heaven, who is our brother. And we should act like it. We should act like we are princes and princesses. That whatever the world comes and throws at us, we're ready for it. If you look at the lineage, as I mentioned earlier, in Matthew or Luke, and see just names that you have no idea, substitute your name there. You're not famous on television, thank goodness. You're not on the photo cover of a magazine. You're just doing the work that God has given you to do. And expect for Him to do extraordinary things to you. You may not find out about it for years later, but He has done something amazing when you said hello or gave somebody something, a hug, a word of encouragement. You see, God enjoys His creation, and none of it is ordinary to Him. All of it is special. He formed you and I out of the dust of the ground and breathed into us. He loves us so much that He gave His one and only Son. And He gave us everything we need. Everything we need. Oh, no, you say, I did so and so, and I did this, and I earned a new pay raise, and I know you. You need to rethink this whole king and servant thing. Enjoy the sacraments. Dig deeper into it. Look at your life and see how the sacraments are working out. Is there joy when you come to the table? Is your anointing going the way that God has it planned? As we come up on the season of Advent, season of preparation and expectation, use this period of time this week to examine your life, to examine who is the King. Let's pray.